Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Igniting Hearts with Benjamin and Tara Dietrich. I wanted you to hear this message today from my wife, Tara, on who do they say that I am. It's a message from Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus took his disciples to what was called the gates of hell. And Tara shares a powerful message, both historically, spiritually, biblically, on what that means, and that in our confession of who Jesus is, we find our own identity. Be blessed by this message, and we'll see you next time for another episode of Igniting Hearts with Benjamin and Tara Dietrich.
I was like, oh yes, I want to get a chance to say that. We went to Israel, and it was amazing, as you've heard over and over again. And I have been really privileged, along with my husband, since the age of really 18 years old, to have the commissioning of being a watchman on the wall. We have truly felt called, myself, since the age of 18, to Israel. And we had the amazing opportunity to serve under Robert Stern. Some of you might know him, based in Buffalo, New York, with Eagle's Wings Ministry, who he truly carries an anointing for Watchmen on the Wall and for Israel and for Zion's sake. He truly blows a trumpet over that land. And we really received that impartation from him and his ministry. So I want to give him honor where honor is due. But we have been really carrying this torch for over 20 years. And like my husband shared with you, he's been 21 times. I've had the honor to go to Israel about 8 times. I'm usually the administrator of the trip. So if you do come with us, I'll be the one sending you those emails, those little reminders, those little updates. But it is such a joy to be a part of someone's journey to the Israel and to connect them to the land of their faith. It is an honor. It is a privilege. And we just got back to Israel, and I truly felt like this has been like awe Israel, honestly. This has been just so special. But when I was there, I really felt, as I was sharing in a specific place, the Lord say that this is your awe message. And so what I really have to share with you is more of an encounter, which is more of an experience that I had in 2008, specifically when I was in Israel. But I've really been carrying this and birthing this for a long time. And I had the honor to share it with the team while we were there. And I felt like the Lord said, bring it back. Bring it back. And you guys have had the privilege and honor to hear from many of the leaders sharing their experiences, their revelations. And so I have another one for you. So are you ready? I am so excited. And so I am going to have the team just go ahead and put image number one. You ready to go to Israel? We're going to share a few photos with you from the land. But as they get the photo ready, I'm excited because we're going to open up the word. There is something that happens when you're in Israel, when you open up the word of God and you're standing in the place that Jesus was, that he was born, that he was raised, that he preached, that he healed, that he cast out demons, that he sacrificed, and that he rose again. There is truly transformation power when you're in the land and you open up the word. This thing is alive and active. It is speaking a fresh word to us every single day, if you'll allow it. There is no stale bread in this word. There is nothing in here dead. It is all alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we are going to have a moment of opening up the word, and I want you to allow it to come alive. In this moment, I want you to allow it to speak a fresh word to you from one of the very place that this message was birthed. You see on the screen, there's an image there, and this is Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is recently, in the last few years, one of my favorite places to go in Israel. Isn't it beautiful? It's lovely. There's beautiful streams that are flowing there. The greenery is just lush. This time of year, there's flowers springing up and blooming. When you go there often, you'll see people taking a picnic basket and sitting there and enjoying lunch. Obviously, many tours and many people going to see what I'm about to unfold to you as a scripture. One of the important scriptures came alive in this place. It's beautiful, right? You want to go? You want to see it? So we're going right now. I'd like to ask for the next image to come. You guys are awesome in the back. Thank you so much for making this happen for me. So this is Caesarea Philippi in Jesus' time. This is what it would have looked like when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi. I really believe that it's very important that as we open up the scripture and the word to give context to what we are reading. Sometimes it's awesome to just flip through and get encouragement and life and fresh revelation. But revelation also comes when you know the context and the history behind specific places and locations in which the word was breathed. Okay, so as you can recognize, see that dark cave behind that building that's called the Temple of Augustus. You see that cave right there? In the previous picture, that's the very cave that you saw right there. So I'm going to give you a little bit of context here, okay? We're going to go into a little bit of teaching, which I love to do. So Caesarea Philippi was an impressive Greco-Roman city near a huge spring that comes out of the cave, which is one of the main sources of the Jordan River. It's about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and it's at the foothills of Mount Hermon. So Mount Hermon is right above there, okay? So it was close to a high place where Jeroboam set up a golden calf for the northern tribes of Israel to worship, which is also one of their leadings to downfall. Jeroboam's sin was creating two calves, just to give you some context, made of gold. He sent one to Bethel as a worship site in the south of the kingdom, and he sent the other to Dan, which is very close to this site, for a place of worship in the north, so that the people of the northern kingdom would not have to continue to go to Jerusalem for worship, which is where the Holy of Holies was. Okay, this was a place that was associated with intense false god worship of evil things for many, many years. Baal worship took place here during the period of the kings of Israel. And in Jesus' time, there were five main areas of worship to false gods that took place here. The first one was Herod the Great built a temple. That's a temple I just pointed to that is right in front of that cave. He built the temple to honor Augustus Caesar. A courtyard area is right next to it. See the court of Pan right there. That was to a false god Pan. That is where we actually get our word for panic. Yeah. He was known for his carnal pleasures. He was also known for making a flute out of the reeds in that area to lure and seduce people. That is actually where they get their word for the Pan Piper. Interesting fact as well. This is also where Walt Disney came up with Peter Pan playing the flute. what's interesting when you dig into the context of things, when you dig into the revelation and the true history of things, isn't it? Okay, so the next temple that is there was a temple dedicated to the false god of Zeus. And then we also have the upper tomb temple of the dancing goats and the lower tomb temple of the dancing goats. So this was a worldwide place of worship to numerous false gods. You might be wondering, why are you telling me this? This is horrible. It really is. It was literally considered, now listen to this, it was literally considered the gates of the underworld or the gates of hell by the known world at that time. There were sacrifices that were done in that cave to false gods, which I won't go into detail. I'll spare you the details of that. But this was a sick cesspool of evil, and it really represented one of the worst of Satan and sinful humanity at that time. This is Caesarea Philippi. Now, I'm a feeler. And when I first visited this place, it was not my favorite place. I didn't even know the history at that time. I had no idea what had occurred in that ground. But all I could tell you is I wanted to run as far away from this place as I possibly can. When they say that the blood cries out from the ground, it truly does, you guys. It truly does. This is not a comfortable place. This is not a pretty place. Yeah, we just, yeah, isn't that interesting? It wasn't until the moment that I sat down, despite my feelings to run, and I opened up the Word, that I truly had my spiritual eyes opened of the significance of this place. And that's also my prayer for you today. If you can, if you have your Bibles with you or your phones, I want us all to turn to the passage in our Bibles. It's Matthew 16. This is probably a very familiar set of verses to you guys, but in light of everything that I shared, there is such a significant power to what God did in this place of evil. There was a declaration that happened in this place that he wants us to grab a hold of. And so Matthew 16, we're going to start in verse 13. Now, I also want you to imagine when we find Jesus and his disciples coming to Caesarea Philippi, think about this. His disciples, they were Jewish. This is not a place that you would find many Jewish people, as it was a place of pagan worship, especially disciples. Can you imagine following Jesus into Caesarea Philippi? Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking in this moment? Can you imagine what was going through their heads? Can you imagine the whispers that were going on behind Jesus as they were entering into this place? Verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Jesus does everything with intention. Yeah. It was by no mistake that he chose this place to ask that question to his followers. Right before this, in several verses and chapters, right before Matthew 16, Jesus had healed multitudes and multitudes of people. He cast out demons. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. But he didn't choose any of those moments to ask his disciples, "Who do they say that I am?" He chose this moment in the place of pagan worship, in the place of darkness, in the place where sacrifice after sacrifice was happening, in the place of idolatry. He looked at them and said, "Who do they say that I am?" He chose this moment to be a place of true confession. He chose this moment to allow his disciples to have the opportunity to confess who he is. There is power in confession. There is power in the word of God. There is power in our declaration of who he is. There is truth that can cut through the darkest place. Amid the darkness in that place, amidst the darkness in the world, who do they say that I am? Amidst culture and what the darkness and deception of what media may be saying, who do they say that I am? Amidst media and misconceptions, who do they say that I am? Amidst your families, amidst many people maybe mocking your faith in our God, he asked the question, who do they say that I am? In this place, the Lord spoke to me. He said, there is such power in your confession. And many of us, we've confessed that Jesus is Lord of Lords. I truly believe that probably, unless anyone will want to wave, that they haven't confessed Jesus is Lord. No? Okay, awesome. We've all made that confession in our hearts. But the Lord reminded me in that moment, and the message I really felt like he wanted me to bring to you is there's a fresh confession in this place. There's a fresh confession in this place that he wants to release through you because you're his ambassadors. You are the ones that are going to stand in the dark places. You're going to be the ones that stand in the places that might not be comfortable, that you might want to run away from, that you might want to say, "I can't handle this," or, "God, I don't have the answer in this place." The Lord is giving you a fresh confession in this moment. Who do you say that I am? There is an ability for us to confess the Lord that speaks louder than the darkness that we are facing, that cries out that, "God, you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus, you are Messiah. You are the Anointed One." There's a confession that comes from this place that God wants us to grab a hold of in this moment. We look here in verse 16. It says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." You did not learn this from any human being. "Now I say to you, Peter," which means rock, "on this rock I will build my church, and all the power of hell, all the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. Or some versions say, will not be able to conquer it. Think about it. Think where they were standing in that moment when Peter made that confession and Jesus said, well done. You have been revealed from heaven who I truly am. And I'm telling you in this moment, all of this treachery that you see, all of this paganism, all of this evil, all of the adultery, all of the human sacrifice that you're seeing in this moment, my church will rise up from this place and my church will be a light that breaks through and will overcome the gates of hell. You are my church. You are my rock. You are the one that will confess the truth of who I am to a dark and dying world. It's you. It's you. It's you. We can't afford to keep our mouth shut. It's you. Jesus might whisper to you in those dark moments, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He's inviting us in this moment to be a voice in the darkness. He's inviting us in this moment to claim our inheritance. He's inviting us in this moment to stand up when all of hell wants to come against what we stand for. He's saying, who do you say that I am, church? You are Lord of lords and King of kings. Lord, you're the Messiah. Lord, you're the anointed one. God, you are truth to every lie. You are the answer to every question. Oh God, give us the courage to speak up. Oh God, give us the courage to answer you in those moments when you say, standing in this place of darkness, shout from the rooftops, who I am, who I am, who I am. Oh, Shonarabababa, you have been commissioned. You have been commissioned. Now it's activation time. He's marked you with his name. He is the I am. He is the Mashiach. He is our Savior. And there's a world that is searching. There's a world that is dying. And he's saying, go, therefore, be my rock. Because I'm telling you, nothing can stand against it. Nothing can stand against it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, revival's breaking out, guys. Revival's breaking out. Hunger is stirring up. Hunger is rising up. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. We cannot be afraid to go into those dark places. We cannot be afraid to go into those bars. We cannot be afraid to go into those places that might feel icky, that might feel uncomfortable, might even look good on the outside, but the moment you step in, you're like, I know there's something there, but you are called to be an ambassador to the I am. You are called to be a voice that cries out in the wilderness, that prepares the way of the Lord. There's a Spirit of the Lord that is stirring up. There's a fresh confession that is stirring up. There's a fresh boldness that is stirring up, church. We are his church. We are his body. It says that this place was worldwide known to be the gates of hell. Gates represent a defensive position. Gates are meant to defend a place. Gates are meant to defend against anything that wants to enter it. And the Lord says that nothing will be able to stand against the gates of hell. Nothing will be able to come against my church. Nothing will be able to overcome my bride. Nothing will be able to stand against you. by this confession. By this confession of who I am. Whew. Jesus. Church, we're not meant to be on the defensive. We are the offensive church. We are meant to go in and take territory. We are meant to go in and pierce the darkness. We are the light. We are meant to go in and invade the gates of hell. I even just feel a shaking off in the spirit, a shaking off of timidity right now, a shaking off of fear, a shaking off of panic, a shaking off of all the things that you felt that may have held you back to having a confession in those places. The Lord is mantling you with a fresh boldness. You're going to go in with a different spirit. You're going to go in with a different heart. You're going to go in and you're not going to be afraid. You're going to go in and people are going to look at you and they're going to say, what is different about you? You don't look like me. You don't sound like me. You have joy on you. What is this? Why are you laughing? The world is dying. The world is depressed. Haven't you watched the news? No, I haven't, Patricia. No. You are meant to be different. You are meant to stand out. You are meant to have a different confession. Jesus. Jesus, we are your legislative body. God, we call to assembly your legislative body in the earth. We say right now, take your place. Take your place. Jesus purposely brought them to this place because he wanted to give them a picture in the midst of evil. He said, don't worry, church. I am building my church in this place of darkness, and you will have authority in this place. Jesus, Jesus. There's also something else that was very significant that happened in this moment. Through Peter's confession of who Jesus is, of he confessed who Jesus' true identity was. He made that confession, and in turn, Jesus turned to him and he spoke true identity to Peter. He changed his name. He changed his identity. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, which Simon means to hear. He heard. He truly heard from heaven the revelation of who Christ truly was on the earth. He fulfilled that part of his identity. But in that place, there was an acceleration and there was an upgrade for Peter. A new identity, a name change happened for Peter. So when Peter saw who Jesus was and when he confessed who Jesus was, Jesus looked at him and said, yes, and now you are my rock. And through you and through your confession, my church will stand and my church will have victory. Woo! Jesus! God, in this moment, we ask right now, even with a fresh confession upon our lips, God, I ask right now, even in this room, Father, begin to speak to your people, God, all of those, God, who may need a name change in this place. I felt the Lord tell me that he's going to give new names to some of you. I felt like the Lord said, some of you have been holding on to old identities, and it is time through your true confession, through a fresh confession. The Lord is going to speak a fresh identity over you. So some of you have maybe received this name or this identity from other people, and it's hung on you like a weight. It's hung on you like a heavy burden. And you say, God, this is my name, and this what's been spoken about me. But God, it doesn't feel true. God, it doesn't feel right. Lord, there's something different. There's something more inside of me. God, I've been labeled this and I've been labeled that. But God says in this time and in this hour, he has given you a fresh name and a fresh identity. Even right now, just begin to receive it in the spirit. Drop it right now, God. I felt activation over us in this session. Activation over us in this session. God is activating you. God is beginning to show you a picture of who you truly are. That you are strong, that you are called, that you are brave, that you are his anointed one, that he can build upon you, that he can use you, that you're not over with, that your story isn't done. Jesus. God, right now, God, break off every false word, every false identity, oh, every false label. I've had some labels put on me. I've had some names put on me. I've had some things that have been put on me. It's time to shake them off. It's time to shake them off right now, Jesus. We say right now, God, we are who you say that we are. I am, God, who you say that I am. Father, let that be our prayer right now, Jesus. Right now, Father. His disciples walked with him for a long time before this moment happened. Think about that. Some of you may have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Some of you may have, even as I've been speaking and teaching, thought to yourself, but God, I thought I knew. But God, I thought I was doing this right. There's more, he says. There's more for you. Part of the glory of being in his kingdom is the more. Part of being a part of the church and a part of the bride is there's more. If there wasn't more, God, help us. There's no retirement from being in the kingdom of God. There's no, oh, my time is finished. I've checked out. I'm done. No, there's none of that in the kingdom of God. God wanted me to come and tell you there is more for you. He has more for you. There was more for them in that moment. Jesus had more. And right now, I just feel just to quiet our hearts. Quiet our hearts in this moment. If some of you, we're going to have a time of confession, okay, guys? It's a good thing. It's not a bad word. Some of you might need to kneel down at your seats. Some of you might even want to come up to the altar. But right now, let's just quiet ourselves and begin to hear him whisper. Who do you say that I am? He might even be bringing things to your memories in this moment. He might even be bringing visions of what's to come to you in this moment. And he's whispering straight to your hearts, who do you say that I am? Just go ahead and even in your seats right now, I want you to respond to him. Some of you might need to even speak it out loud. That's okay. Who is he to you? Who is the I am to you? Many have called him many things. He even addressed that. Who do they say that I am? Many may have labeled him many different things, even to you. But it's not about who they say that he is. Let that just dissolve away right now, even in the spirit. Right now, it's about who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Right now in this place, God. God, even as this family here is having a moment with you, Jesus, I pray, even as they're responding to this call, this heart cry right now, straight from you, Father, straight from heaven, straight from your word that's alive and active, God, as they're responding to you, I say right now, fresh identity. Release fresh names in this place and in this house, oh God. Fresh identities, God. They may have been named rightly for one season, but God, they're entering into a new season. Just as Simon, son of Jonah, was named correctly, one who hears, and he certainly heard from heaven who you are. He fulfilled his identity in that moment, but there was an identity shift because there was a season shift, and I speak that over you right now. Your season is shifting, and to some of you, he's giving new names. So Jesus, I pray right now, release it. Release it. Just take one more moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, thank you for fresh revelation. God, thank you for boldness for your church. God, I bless your people today. Even as we start to come to an end, God, I bless your people right now, Father. God, I ask, God, for your presence to just rest on them, Father. Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you right now, Lord. Thank you right now.